Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslim CEO show. This is the place for you if you want to become an amazing leader and grow your business to the next level, inshallah. We do this by learning from those that have been there, done it, and bought the thawb. I'm your brother and host, Muhammad Arshad, and today I'm truly honored and delighted to have with me the amazing Aqib Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, Aqib.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well, bro. How are you? Looking all fresh today.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm good. Really honored to be here, so thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent. Okay, so I'm super, super excited to have Aqib on the show because I really see you as one of the pioneers of the Muslim space, especially when it comes to Facebook. You've got so much knowledge, so much experience, which I think is very, very unique. And I'm sure we're going to go into all of that. So I don't really need to introduce you, but I'm going to give everyone a quick overview just so they get to know you a little bit better, and then we'll get into your story as well, yeah? So in case you don't know, Aqib Ahmed is the founder of Entrepreneurial Muslim. He's basically worked with all the kind of leading Muslim brands you can think of, helping them with Facebook marketing. He's been on Islam Channel like 6 or 7 times. And what's amazing about what he's doing is that he has a whole load of clients and customers who have had amazing results, amazing stories, and they've generated millions of dollars online, mashallah, using his proven business training. So, Aqib, jazakallah khair once again for joining us. So, the first question I want to start with is by asking you, what was 10-year-old Aqib like?
10-year-old Aqib was mischievous, naughty, curious. And my favorite subject was maths back in school. I found English boring, history boring. I always used to talk in the class because I had a really, my attention span was like the span of a goldfish. So I used to sit down. I was really curious. Didn't really like education. Didn't like the status quo. But alhamdulillah, got through it.
Amazing. Okay. Do you remember what you wanted to be at that age? I mean, it was quite a long time ago, but do you remember what you wanted to be?
I wanted to be like a teacher or an accountant. And I realized that it's not the best way forward as I got later into my 15s and 16s.
Okay, amazing. Accountant. All right, good. So you chose something numbers orientated, yeah?
Yeah, because I used to love maths and I was really good at it as well.
Okay, amazing. So let's kind of start a little bit at the beginning, right? Because I know that a lot of people would have seen you on Facebook, would have seen you online and stuff. And so they probably have an image of you. They probably know a little bit about what you do. But let's go back a little bit, right? So just tell me a little bit about, like, did you go to university? Did you study anything particular? Where did it kind of take you? And let's talk a little bit about background.
Yes, I went to Birmingham University. I studied maths at uni. And I was always very passionate about giving dawah. So even before university, I did Islamic poetry. Even though, you know, English was my worst subject at school. And I just about passed English. But I felt like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He inspired this passion inside me to spread Islam through poetry. So even before university, I used to do Islamic poetry, won some contests. And I had this vision back in 2006, where imagine an ummah where we're coming to Islam, we're legacy focused, we're jannah driven. This was way back, like subhanAllah, 14 years ago, when I was like in my teens. And I had this mission to spread Islam through poetic verses. And it wasn't spoken poetry, it was written poetry. And subhanAllah, I used to say things like, you know, strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid your desires so you can stay away from the hellfires. And the sweetness of Jannah is sweeter than the sweetness of your desires. So it's like, I used to love poetry because it's very elegant. And subhanAllah, it all kicked off from there really, where from poetry, I grew this following online. I used to be called iPoet. And that was my brand name, and subhanAllah, it all kicked off from there because I saw Facebook as an opportunity to spread Islam because everyone else was using Facebook as a social media platform to just waste their time, really. But I thought, you know, imagine where we're giving dawah, we're bringing people to Islam. And I saw this mission, like, you know, over 10 years ago, alhamdulillah.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that was probably my first experience of you as well, like seeing this guy called iPoet on Facebook and stuff, and it's quite cool because obviously we've known each other for a few years and stuff now. But I think you're one of the first people to really try and establish yourself on Facebook. So tell me, where did you kind of like get the idea to get onto Facebook? Because, you know, obviously there's a lot of different things happening at that time. Why did you choose Facebook to kind of specialize in?
It's because it had the biggest numbers. It was growing by hundreds and thousands on a monthly basis. And before Facebook, I used to be on Islamic forums, used to be on Govahar to Maniac Muslim. Mm. And I used to connect with people, and I had this vision of connecting in a community aspect. And I used to spread Islam through poetic verses. And then from there, I saw this thing called Facebook, and I thought, hang on, this is growing exponentially, and there's actually Muslims on this. How about we spread Islam, and we use Islam as a tool to, you know, bring people closer to the truth, so they can, you know, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a difference. And back in 2008, 2009, I was known as iPoet, and I got to work with Productive Muslim. That's an organization that spreads Islam through productivity. I helped them get great results. And then from that, a lot of Muslim influencers got to know about my work, and they were like, how do you grow a following? How do you reach more people? And that's where the whole Facebook marketing side started kicking off, where I grew my following back then to like 50,000 followers. And back then, that's quite a big thing, because I was one of the first like brown people on Facebook. So then from there, got to reach people and help many, you know, influential people grow their following and turn it into a service as well.
Amazing. Okay. So just tell me one thing, yeah? Like, poetry is quite a personal thing, right? So how did you kind of find the confidence, find the drive to go out publicly on Facebook and start, you know, spreading your poetry?
Through the message of the Quran. You look at the life of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet, you know, Ayyub alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. The prophets of the past, they are amazing leaders. Mm. And I know this whole interview is about leadership. They broke the status quo. You know, they really challenged the norm. They were legacy builders. And my inspiration drew from those amazing leaders, alhamdulillah.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, so when you started, did you find that it was quite easy for you to kind of build a following, and then that's why Productive Muslim approached you, or were you kind of starting out at the time? How did that kind of happen?
I had to work really hard because social media became an addiction, and it still is, alhamdulillah, but I used to spend like 10 hours a day constantly engaging with people, writing posts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for me to grow my following, because back then, the Facebook algorithm, it wasn't, you know, like it is now. It was a lot easier to reach people back then, whereas now the organic reach has kind of died down. But back then, you know, you could grow your following really quickly. And I came across Brian Moran, one of my first Facebook marketing teachers, and he was sharing how you can grow your following. So I ran Facebook advertising, and in like a couple of days, I could grow my following to like tens and thousands of followers. So using Facebook advertising, I grew my following, helped Productive Muslim, got to work with Bayna along the lines, Al-Maghrib and Islam Channel, and it's been a blessing, alhamdulillah.
Amazing, amazing. Some big, big names there, mashallah. So so you're saying that you kind of started iPoet, you found that you started to build a following online, you looked into Facebook a little bit deeper, you started trying things out, and then you started helping some of these other organizations, right? So let's get into some of the specifics, like when it comes to Productive Muslim or Bayna or Al-Maghrib, what kind of stuff were you doing for these guys?
So like with Productive Muslim, is simply posting on their page. It was content focused, helping them grow their Facebook likes. With Bayna, it was selling their Bayna TV membership. So we're running Facebook ads, and we spent around $8,000 on Facebook ads. That generated like 10,000 emails. And in total sales, that generated $32,000 in sales. We were using Naman Ali Khan's Facebook page. And we were driving Facebook ads to a sign-up page that went to the Arabic with Husna and video series. So video 1, video 2, video 3. Cost per lead was under $2 an email. But I was targeting US, UK, and Canada. And we did a custom audience. We realized we were targeting Bayna subscribers. That's going to bring the best return on investment. And then from there, we started to target people who actually engage with Naman Ali Khan. And then from there, we started to target cold audience, and we found that custom audience and people who actually know Naman Ali Khan, they were more open to signing up for Arabic with Husna. And then, mashallah, within 3 months, we grew an extra, you know, 315 subscribers for Arabic with Husna. And it's mainly, it was a $10 membership, $10 monthly membership, and then $110 per year. And mashallah, a lot of people signed up, and I was responsible for that, you know, 3 month period.
Amazing, mashallah, amazing results. So tell me, like, when it comes to Facebook, obviously that was quite a few years ago, right? And then there's other Muslim organizations I know that you've kind of helped as well. How have you seen Facebook change over the last 10 years?
It's changed dramatically, where before it was about organic, before it was about simply posting. And now because people's attention span has dropped down, now it's more about a conversation marketing. So with Entrepreneurial Muslim, we've introduced WhatsApp engagement, we've introduced Messenger bot marketing. And the way 2020 is going, where it's all about the conversation. You can't just simply have a funnel where they watch a webinar, apply for a call, and then they sign up. You need to engage your audience. You can't just simply take them from one piece to another piece to another piece. You have to speak to them, you know, engage on a personal level. And that's what we're constantly doing through Facebook groups, through Messenger bot marketing. And for 2020, the best Facebook marketing strategy is to take a Facebook ad to your Messenger bot sequence. Using Zapier, you can automatically populate their email, so you're building up your Messenger bot list as well as your email marketing list. And then also phone numbers are really powerful as well. So using a lot of WhatsApp marketing, a lot of Messenger bot marketing, that's where Facebook marketing is heading towards, you know, for 2020, I think.
Okay, amazing. Sure. Great. That's great advice there as well. So when it comes to like iPoet, obviously that was all about poetry, it was Dawah and stuff. Today we have Entrepreneurial Muslim, which is more about the students and helping them get to a place. How did it transition from iPoet? Obviously, you were doing work with these different organizations. You know, at what point did you realize, well, maybe this is what I should be doing full time? And how did you come to the decision?
Yes, because with poetry, I wanted to be a full time poet. I wanted to do full time writing, but I couldn't monetize it. And I realized that people, they like me for my following, for my Islamic reminders. Mm. There's a big demand for Facebook marketing service. So when I had these different influencers and organizations approach me, I realized, hang on, you know, I'm charging these people. How can I scale it? And how can I take it to the place where I can actually take it to that next stage? Because initially I was, you know, doing one-to-one consultancy, but it wasn't scalable. I was spending like 15 hours a day driving myself crazy. So then it came to Entrepreneurial Muslim, where I thought, instead of going from a one-to-one model, how can I build a team around me where it's a one-to-many model, where I can sit there eating my biryani while my team does the hard work and I collect the paycheck? No, it wasn't like that, but alhamdulillah, I wanted to oversee things. I wanted to manage and delegate and be more of a leader. And I wanted to empower the team with a vision to create pioneers across different industries. And our mission is to create the greatest Muslim business school in the history of Islam based on results. And the whole team is so passionate about it and really blessed. You know, all the success of Entrepreneurial Muslim goes down to the team. You know, I don't take any credit for it. I just make a lot of mistakes. I learn, I improve. And it's all about the team, alhamdulillah. You know, I'm just nobody, you know.
Amazing. Yeah, I've met some of your team. They seem amazing, mashallah. I know you've got a good mix of people there as well. So this is wonderful. I mean, like you said, it all comes back to the team. So that's great. You know, one of the words that kind of a lot of people will associate with you, and when they see you, you know, the big word is probably legacy, right? Legacy is a word that you've been talking about for a long, long time. So just tell us a little bit about what does legacy mean to you? Why are you so passionate about it? Why is it so important?
Yeah, I think on the surface, I'm the legacy person, but I know deep down, I've still got a lot of work to do, because when you look at the prophets of the past, they were legacy builders. And when I compare myself to them, I'm an absolute nothing. And the way they broke the status quo, they were true legacy builders. And the Quran talks about legacy builders across different times. So I've got a long way to go. And, you know, I hope that we can all leave a legacy behind. And I know on the surface, I seem like the legacy guy, but I know deep down, I've got a long way to go to leave a legacy. But when it comes to legacy, it's about contribution. It's about leaving behind good deeds. So when you pass away, you're constantly getting good deeds. So legacy is basically good deeds on automation. Like our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about Islam, and we're using it every single day. You know, we're praying five times a day. You know, we're following the sunnah, subhanAllah. That was true legacy. So the whole essence of legacy comes from the Quran and sunnah. And yeah, on the surface, it may seem like the legacy guy, but underneath, I know I've got a lot of work to do. And it's constantly about, you know, sincerity, doing things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where legacy is rooted from, because if you imagine you have a tree, the tree's legacy, the roots are going to be sincerity and pure intentions, and then the branches are your action. That comes from pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of our Prophet, peace be upon him.
Amazing. Okay, wonderful. So this whole thing around legacy, like, you know, you mentioned obviously you're known as that guy, but there's a lot more work to do. How does someone who's never thought about legacy, you know, maybe they wake up one day and they think, yeah, you know what, I would love to have some sort of legacy, I'd love to build a legacy. Like, what should someone like that do? Like, it's not necessarily about business, but it's just they want to do something beneficial for the akhirah, for others. What's your advice for something like that?
My sincere advice is think about what you're passionate about. It could be cooking, it could be selling hijabs, it could be football, it could be marketing. Whatever your passion is, think about how you can benefit the community with it. It doesn't have to be over Facebook, but how can you contribute? It could be at your local masjid, it could be giving to charity, it could be a social group on Facebook, it could be giving dawah to non-Muslims on Facebook. Do whatever you can that can help you, you know, benefit people, because the best of people are those who benefit other people. And it doesn't have to be on a global scale. You can start locally with your own family members or your neighborhood and start building your legacy from there, and then eventually go online, inshallah.
Okay, amazing, wonderful. So it's not necessarily about always getting online and starting a page and getting a following. It could just be doing something local on a smaller level and building up.
100%, yeah, you can start off locally, and there's benefits of both online and locally. Locally, you get to meet people face to face, and there's nothing better than that, because that builds more rapport, builds higher trust. So I highly recommend you try that, inshallah. But online, obviously, you can leverage more, you can reach more people. I had this concept of, imagine, you know, street dawah, but through Facebook chat. When instead of approaching people one-to-one, over Facebook chat, you can go, Assalamu alaikum, you know, are you praying five times a day? Here's some material, or hi, Jim. And what do you know about Islam? Because over the last 10 years, I've had people randomly just approach me, non-Muslims, and they've been like, I want to come to Islam. You know, can I say my Shahada? And I'm like, wow, you know, that's a blessing from Allah.
MashaAllah, amazing. Okay, great. So when it comes to, like, obviously we said that the legacy side of it all, now entrepreneurial Muslim is like your big focus, right? So tell us a little bit about what is that all about, and, you know, is this what you're really passionate about? Is this what you're kind of focusing on as your main thing now?
Yes, it's what I live and breathe, alhamdulillah, because it's a scalable model, and got such an amazing team behind me that are so loyal to me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless my team. I always make dua for them, you know, in tahajjud, and I think about them every day. It's all about the team now. You know, leadership is all about, leadership starts from me, and then it becomes we. It becomes about the bigger purpose, the wider community. And when we have so many success stories across different industries, from marriage to personal development to marketing to real estate, that really inspires you to, you know, carry that going and make it a scalable model. And our vision is to create pioneers across every halal industry. And our mission is to create this amazing Muslim business school. What I really love about Legacypreneur University is that it's automated, got a team in place, and I can oversee and manage that and really want to make a bigger difference.
Sure. So one question I'm going to ask you is, you know, in the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about entrepreneurship and Muslims and all this kind of stuff, right? Sometimes people see Muslims out there talking about business and they kind of feel like, oh, you know, this person's using Islam to sell the deen and, you know, make money and this and that. It can be quite a tough space, right? So how have you found it, and what's your thoughts about the whole Islam and business together and all of that?
Yeah, I get that completely. Islam encourages entrepreneurship. Look at Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. He was a wealthy merchant. Look at Khadija, may Allah be pleased with our Prophet's wife. And she was a successful businesswoman. So Islam encourages entrepreneurship. And for me, it's all about success stories and results. You know, learn from someone who has a proven track record, who's worked with established people. And if they have a proven track record and they have success stories to back it up, then learn from that person. It doesn't matter, you know, what field they're in. It doesn't have to be myself or yourself. Anyone who's got experience, I'm a believer of doing. I never teach something I've never implemented myself. There's been this whole debate on, you know, should you teach something you don't actually know? Can you coach someone if you haven't achieved the results yourself? My belief is it's results that do the talking, and you can't, you know, you can't be experienced. So because I've spent, you know, 35,000 hours online over Facebook, you can learn from my mistakes and you can fast track your success. And, you know, MashaAllah, you've been an amazing coach to me. You know, you've changed my life in many ways, and everything I'm doing with entrepreneurial Muslim, I give you a lot of credit for that, because you gave me the confidence, the leadership skills to build a team and, you know, develop a great program. And subhanAllah, you know, your coaching was life changing for me, and to learn from you, it's been an amazing experience, and really humbled to be on this interview and to speak to you again, alhamdulillah.
I think our time together actually was very, very unique, because you know, you are a very unique individual, bro. Like, I've never, the first time I ever heard about the concept of a square roti, it was from you. And it blew my mind, bro, because my whole life I've been eating a lot of rotis, and, you know, you said square roti. Tell us a little bit about this, bro, because, like, you have a very unique style of communicating, right? When it comes to your emails, you know, I'm subscribed to your list, and I've been receiving the thousands of emails that you've sent out. You know, they're very different to how other organizations or other people out there communicate, right? So tell us a little bit about how do you kind of write your emails? What are you thinking? Just tell us about that.
Yes, so there's something called market sophistication, where as you enter a market, you know, people's sophistication, their mindset changes. So before, a couple of years ago, I could come out and say, build a six-figure business, click here to sign up. And a lot of people would sign up, and that's what made the space really blossom initially. But if you do that nowadays, people are going to be, you know, they're going to be skeptical. They're going to be like, is this a fraud? Is this a scam? So now my messaging's changed over the last couple of years. And if you look at market sophistication, a lot of, you know, advertising gurus, they talk about this, where as the marketplace changes, your messaging has to change as well. And level five is iconic, you know, like the Apple branding, where, you know, Steve Jobs left a legacy. And that's why I use legacy a lot, because, you know, building a business is not just about making money. It's about achieving genital firdaus. It's about leaving a legacy behind. It's about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about following the sunnah and being a great leader. So when you have that iconic leadership message in your marketing, it makes it really powerful. And also the business model, you have to be really transparent about that. And even in the past couple of years, we had a lot of competition. But what's made us stand the test of time is our sincerity, our great customer service, our team, and our success stories, alhamdulillah. So when I'm writing an email, I'm thinking that I'm targeting an individual who could be, you know, in the UK, who could be in the US. It might be a mother with two kids, or it could be, you know, Brother Javed from the UK, who might be a lawyer. What's his biggest problem? What's his biggest pain point? Okay, what's he actually trying to achieve? So if you target a specific pain, you know, and then you want to give them a specific solution with some success stories, that works really well, alhamdulillah. So pain, agitate the pain, and then provide a solution, and then a call to action. That makes the emails really powerful.
Amazing. I mean, one of the things I've seen in your messaging quite a lot is this whole notion of, you know, a bit like 4-hour work week, where escape the 9-to-5, be your own boss online and stuff, right? So do you believe that basically no one should be an employee and no one should be working 9-to-5?
I did initially, and as a bit narrow-minded, I believe we need our doctors, we need our lawyers, and I highly respect 9-to-5, alhamdulillah. Mm. Not everyone can be an entrepreneur. Just like not everyone's going to be an athlete, not everyone's going to be a scholar. I believe that whatever your talent is, whether it's a cleaner, whether it's selling samosas, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that talent, do it with ihsan. And if you want to be an entrepreneur, then you can. And it just depends on the person's preference. My job is to, you know, like you have, you know, Apple, they make PC the enemy. They have PC and Mac. Why don't I make 9-to-5 the enemy? And then building a business as the luxury, the great lifestyle, while being authentic and sincere as well. So I kind of have that sort of messaging, and it's very powerful. But I've matured over the last couple of years where, yeah, you can work 9-to-5 and have a side business. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can still leave a legacy working 9-to-5. But if you do want to start a business, if you do want to be part of this community, then, you know, we're open to that as well.
So what do you think? Do you think that it's possible to build a proper business while working full time?
It depends on the person, but I think you should be all or nothing. Give either your business 100% or 9-to-5. You can't do both. I would suggest working 9-to-5, you know, a little bit while you have a side business. And as your business, it kicks off, then leave your 9-to-5. If you really love your 9-to-5, then yeah, you know, work on your business on the side. But it's just a person's preference, really. For me personally, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur and, you know, love my work. And that's what I push out a lot. And I believe it's about focus. You can't do 50, you can't do 100 things and be world class. Do one thing, go really deep, become world class, and focus on that. Which is why over the last 10 years, I've never talked about LinkedIn marketing, Twitter marketing, YouTube marketing. It's just been Facebook marketing and going really deep, alhamdulillah.
So why did you choose, or why do you still stick with Facebook? Because there's so many platforms out there. TikTok's just come around, and Snapchat's there and stuff, and you haven't changed. You've kind of stuck with Facebook. Like, what's the big kind of pull towards Facebook? Why staying on Facebook right now?
Yeah, good question, because Facebook has a much better ecosystem, and its Facebook advertising tools are more sophisticated, more advanced, and because the whole Muslim Ummah in general, they're on Facebook. So Facebook is a leading platform, and I want to highly focus on that, especially with Messenger bots coming out. It's a really powerful platform to leverage, have those conversations, and turn prospects into high-paying clients as well.
So, you know, I remember, like, when I first started out many years ago, it was Amazon was, like, the big thing. And then, you know, drop shipping and all these other kind of models came out for business. So let's say there's a brother today who comes to you and says, look, Akib, I want to make some money on the side. I want to spend my time building a business. I don't really know what I'm passionate about. I mean, I'm passionate about making money, right? So what are the different avenues or options open to someone like me to make money online?
Yes, so we don't teach physical products, because my belief is you don't only leave a legacy selling socks. You want to leave a legacy. You want to leave a legacy making a big difference. So we highly focus on client business model. We focus on affiliate marketing. We focus on digital products. There's mainly service based. So if you want to be a coach, consultant, or service provider, we can help you with that. And if you struggle, we can help you set up a marketing agency where you can be a marketing consultant and focus on Facebook advertising. And they're the models we really focus on and nothing else.
But why don't you do physical product? I mean, a lot of people, I made a lot of money with physical products. A lot of people out there are killing it, right? Why is it that you don't do physical products?
It's because I haven't personally done it myself, and I don't feel comfortable teaching something that I haven't done. My team, we're highly specialized in digital and service-based.
And what's the benefits of doing digital over physical products, for example?
Digital has higher profit margins and has a bigger chance of leaving a legacy behind, where you're interacting with people, you can reach more people, you can spread your passion. It's more fulfilling instead of, you know, selling socks or, you know, kitchen plates on Amazon, if you get what I mean.
Or worrying about your shipment not getting through customs and worrying about air freight and all the kind of worries we used to have. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I want to kind of move on a little bit to leadership, because, you know, obviously, you're managing a team now, mashallah. You're giving a lot of credit to your own success, to the team and everything else. So tell me, like, who is a leader that's kind of inspired you?
The greatest leader, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he inspired the companions and his leadership from his time all the way down to our time. You know, the Quran heavily talks about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the legacy that he left behind was absolutely amazing. And I'm so inspired by that. And our vision is to spread Islam for entrepreneurship, drawing lessons from the Quran and Sunnah. And when you look into the Quran and you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells stories in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest story writer. It's just like so eloquent, and it's so precise, and it's so direct. You know, Allah is the greatest, and that's where the best leadership lessons come from. And if you want to draw inspiration from, you know, your life, or, you know, my life, I highly recommend checking the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because the seerah has so many lessons that we can learn from his amazing character, from his sincerity and his leadership. That's a great model, alhamdulillah.
Amazing. What is leadership for you? When you think about leadership, someone said, like a child came to you and said, explain leadership to me. What would you say leadership is for you?
Leadership is inspiring other people to take a desired action to achieve a specific result. And leadership initially starts from one person, and then it goes to a team and then a nation. So when you look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, initially he received a message from Angel Jibril, and then he spread the message, and then that message went exponential. That's a great model of leadership. And we can do that within our teams as well, where we start with leadership from ourself, our inner self, and then it goes out to a small team, and then a bigger community, and then a whole nation. That's what leadership is. It starts from one person and it branches out to achieve a specific result that gives a specific outcome.
So how does one start to become a leader? Like, you know, maybe I've never ever led any people before. Maybe I've never done anything like that before. How do I kind of start with leadership and leading myself?
So the first step is the intention. Make the intention to be a leader. It all starts from the intention, and then make a decision of, what do you want to be a leader in? Because there's so many different industries you want to go into. It's best to specialize in a specific area. You could specialize in selling cakes, or specialize in being a real estate investor, or being a Twitter marketer, focus on one specific area. And Sheikh Mohammed al-Sharif, he speaks about this in Nishiro. I took Nishiro leadership back in 2012, and I went to his London course, mashallah, where he talks about being an A player yourself, being a superstar yourself, and when other people see your vision, they'll be drawn towards you, and A players, they attract A players. So then when you have a team, then you can build out from there, alhamdulillah. But focus on yourself, pick a specific passion, read about it on Google, read about it on Amazon, read best-selling books about it, do your research, and then start testing it and make mistakes, get mentors along the way, and bismillah, you know, just take action.
Okay. And so how do I find my passion? Because passion is something you talk about a lot, right? Let's say I'm here, I don't know what my passion is. I've never really thought about my passion. How do I find out what it is?
So passion, you can break it down into three segments. I call it the passion triangle, where your passion is something you want to leave a legacy behind. So legacy, you know, can you leave a legacy? Is it fun and is it profitable? So if you think about what you're interested in, what things you're good at, then you can brainstorm your ideas on a piece of paper, do your research on Google, who are the industry leaders. So when I first started out, you know, no one was really teaching entrepreneurship in the Muslim space. But I started out learning from Brendan Burchard, from Jeff Walker, from Tony Robbins. And I was like, how do I take that same concept, bring it to the Ummah and teach it with an Islamic angle that can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I did my research on Google. I did my research on Amazon. I went on Facebook. And then from there, you can bring the concept together and bring out your business idea.
So, I mean, one of the things that, you know, you mentioned you learned from a lot of the top guys out there in terms of the gurus and stuff, right? Why do you think it's important to go do courses? Because, you know, a lot of people, they come to us, a Muslim CEO, they want advice, they want help. But then there's others who are like, well, you know, I've got YouTube out there, I can go and watch all the videos, I can do it myself. Why is it important to go to people like yourself and myself and others, like Brendan Burchard and all these guys, rather than just going it alone on YouTube and all the kind of resources that we've got out there?
That's a good question. It's like I wrote an email before a few days ago where it was like, if you had a heart attack, are you going to treat it from watching YouTube videos? If you're not, are you? You're going to get to... You're going to go to a heart specialist. You're going to go to someone who's highly qualified. Yeah. Because if you have the mindset of just getting freebies, yes, you'll get the information, but you're not going to get the transformation. And that's where a mentor, a coach comes from. Okay? You can get information anywhere on how to build a business. But when you have the accountability, when you have the community, when you have the one-to-one coaching, that's where the transformation comes from. So yes, you can go on YouTube and learn about Facebook marketing, but without accountability, nothing gets done. And when you pay for something, you value it a lot more as well. And I did some testing. We have a lot of data. We've had over 3,000 applications come through since 2015. And the students who paid the premium, they got the best results. Whereas those students who signed up for a $7 ebook, they didn't do anything. So when you pay for something, you value it a lot more. And it's not just about information on YouTube. It's about transformation. That's what a mentor can give you as well.
A good point. I think it's very, very true. There's lots of information out there, but the transformation is very different. What are some of the big mistakes that you're seeing Muslims making on Facebook when it comes to content or advertising and all this stuff? What's the big mistakes people are making?
They're doing too many projects. They're doing too many programs. And if you think about my work, and my success has been down to just having one program, Legacy Pune University. We spoke about this a couple of years ago, and I'm still doing Legacy Pune University. And I learned this concept from, you know, Tony Robbins. He's got Unleash the Power Within. He's been doing that same event for the past 20, 30 years. It's about having one cake, making it world class, optimizing it and scaling it. I don't believe in having 50 million programs. Have one thing, take it deep, optimize it, tweak it. So if you focus on one thing, you can take it to a world-class level. I see too many Muslims, you know, losing focus, releasing 50 million courses and getting mediocre results. Whereas just from Legacy Pune University, we've done seven-figure sales in the past couple of years. So it's about, you know, keeping focus, and it's about doing the right marketing strategy. It's about adding value, not just saying, you know, 2 days till my event, sign up here, missing out. Having the right marketing strategy to nurture your audience, to warm them up, to build rapport, I think that's really important as well.
Okay, good. So there's a lot of stuff you mentioned there, right? So you mentioned a lot about nurturing the audience, having rapport. You mentioned about focusing specifically on one pathway and also about adding value. to the audience, yeah, so that it's not you're just always asking, but you're actually giving value to them, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, amazing. And what about the Muslim space? Like, obviously, this is one of the big reasons why people come to yourself and people like us, because they feel like, you know, we've spent thousands of pounds marketing to the Muslims, to selling to the Muslims, launching things to the Muslims. What's your experience of the Muslim market when it comes to Facebook, when it comes to advertising and all of this stuff? Is it cheaper to advertise to Muslims? Is it more expensive? Is it harder? Is it easier? Like, what's the experience? Because you've been doing it for so long. How is it all?
It's difficult, it's challenging, but when you have the right marketing, the right pre-framing and the right messaging, they're more open to it. And when it comes to pricing, I believe that 80% of the sale is in the pre-framing. If you can have a really good pre-framing sequence and add a lot of value and build trust, and if you show you're, you know, authentic and sincere, the Muslim market can really open up to you. Even if you make a lot of mistakes like I have, you know, you learn from those mistakes and you grow and you develop. So the Muslim market is difficult, it's not easy, but with the right messaging, the right marketing and that sincerity, people really open up to you and they share a lot of personal stuff as well. So it's just about being open, authentic, sincere, especially if you want to be in the Muslim market, and it's a really great place to be. And I really believe that we can achieve some amazing things here. And I really want to get to a place where in the next 5 years, we have thousands of Muslims across different industries who are pioneers, who are industry leaders, who are dominating and influencing. So we can get to the same place where the mainstream is, because the mainstream right now is so far ahead when it comes to the way they think and their mindset. And I believe that we can get there through uniting together by, you know, being one, by being one ummah, and not disconnecting on, you know, petty little things. If we can come together based on the shahada, based on leadership, and have this discussion on a higher level, I believe that's the future of the Muslim market, inshallah.
Why do you think we're so behind? Because I agree with you. I think that if you look at the marketing, I was talking about specifically, a lot of the non-Muslims are way ahead of us, right? Why are the Muslims so behind when it comes to marketing, Facebook, all these kind of things?
It's because there's this backwards mindset of being a doctor, being an engineer, being an accountant, whereas I believe that self-education is the new norm. Because, you know, I paid so much to go to university, but it's my education after university, by taking courses, by getting mentorship, that's what really helped me develop as a leader and build entrepreneurial Muslim. So inshallah, if Muslims can be more educated and they can empower themselves to stop spending money on, you know, TV and shoes and, you know, things that are not really going to benefit the dunya and the akhirah, then that can be a step forward, inshallah. I'm really focusing on the Quran and Sunnah, because there's so many lessons in the Quran of being a legacy-focused Muslim, of being forward-thinking. If we can come back to the roots of our deen, then I believe that's the way forward, inshallah.
Amazing. Okay, what about like productivity and all this kind of stuff, right? Because obviously it's very difficult to build a business, you're spending a lot of time. What kind of some of the tips or tricks or techniques that you use when it comes to productivity, when it comes to working, all of this stuff? What's your routine like?
My routine's a bit like, you know, all over the place, but alhamdulillah, I like to focus my life around my salah. So when you have your 5 daily prayers, work your business around your salah. So have a routine where you're praying your salah on time and build your business around that, and try wake up early as well. Try wake up an hour, you know, just before Fajr, pray to Hajjud, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's my greatest productivity tip, where if you can make dua in the last third of the night and you can, you know, sincerely put your hands up and make dua and you can do sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's so powerful. And I'm not perfect, you know, sometimes I do miss my tahajjud, but I'm always learning, I'm reminding, and, you know, always try to be a student, inshallah. So pray tahajjud as much as you can, and also have a daily checklist of things you want to do. Try to do 1-2 things every day and be highly focused on just those 1-2 things. Don't do too many things, because then you're going to get overwhelmed. And realize that when you come on Facebook, you're coming on Facebook to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to leave a legacy behind. And when you have that mindset, it's going to help you be more productive, inshallah. But also realize that family is really important. You know, family comes first. So spend time with family, and always constantly develop yourself through reading the Quran and going through courses and getting mentorship as well, so that you have that balance between business, family, fitness, and your deen, inshallah.
Inshallah. Tell me something, you know, we're going to ask the question, because so Facebook is so big for you. Like, do you feel like social media has kind of destroyed our lives? Like, what's the balance? What's this whole thing? I remember I was listening to this thing about Gary Vee, who's saying that he believes there's people in the world right now probably climbing a mountain. Like, you imagine struggling to climb a mountain. And the only reason they're doing it is so they can have an Instagram picture at the end of it, right? So, like, yeah. What's your whole thought about how do you use social media in an enriching way, and how do you use it so that it actually benefits your life rather than destroying it?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because people, they're posting selfies up, they're posting pictures of their food. It's all about that recognition. I think it comes down to, if you knew your intention, checking your intention before you make a post. You know, why are you posting out? Is it to please people? Is it to get their approval? Or is it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the whole foundation of legacy is your intentions. And when you're doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah puts more barakah in your work. Because we don't want to be there on the day of judgment where we have mountains of good deeds, but because our intentions, they were corrupt, we miss out on so much ajr. So you have to be really careful, and it all comes down to your intentions. Doing it for the sake of Allah, making sure we're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just always realize that Allah is watching you. With every word you're writing, with every word you're saying on a video, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And, you know, Allah is the best of judges. So have that sincere intentions and realize that we're going to die one day. We're going to be in our grave. And people, they're going to forget about us in, you know, a couple of days or a couple of weeks. And we're going to stand there before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being judged. So make sure, you know, you're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not pleasing people. So that's the key, really, having that mindset that Allah is watching and that we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have that mindset of being legacy focused, that can help you be more productive on Facebook as well.
So this is all very good advice. I think, like, intentions and thinking about Allah and meeting Allah, I mean, this is powerful, right? But I think the challenge for most people is, like, how do you stay aware of that? Right, so right now someone might be watching this and they're hearing it and they're like, yeah, I'm going to have to stand in front of Allah. You become more conscious. You have more taqwa as you're hearing this stuff, right? But if I'm sitting, you know, on my sofa and I've got my phone out, how do I become aware to actually think about that stuff to then post accordingly?
That comes from your salah. When you have that salah in your life, that makes your heart enrich. It makes your heart more legacy focused and spiritual. And by doing zikr and focusing on your foundation first, when you have that foundation of ihsan, of doing excellence, that's when you can be more God conscious when you're going on Facebook. So when you're in the kitchen or when you're on the sofa, you still realize that Allah is watching you. So it all comes down to your foundation. And I'd even say that if you're struggling with your 5 daily prayers, get off Facebook, make your 5 daily prayers the priority. And then come on Facebook, because the whole concept of legacy and benefiting people is pointless if your 5 daily prayers are not in check. So focus on your salah, making sure that you're God conscious, so that no matter where you are, if you're in a shopping mall, if you're upstairs or on the sofa, you're God conscious. And whenever you're posting, that's going to be a lot more powerful than simply just posting and pleasing people.
Okay, amazing. So I want to ask you, like, what are 3 books that have greatly influenced your life, or what are books that you recommend to your students or other people?
So the greatest book is the Quran. I highly recommend that people will enrich themselves by reading the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when it comes to leadership, Quran is the best book, and we always neglect it. So Quran, read it, implement it. Read about Surah Ikhlas, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the oneness of God. And Tawheed is such an amazing concept where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us about focus. And then there's a book on called E-Myth, which talks about the different levels where you're an entrepreneur, you can be, you know, a manager. E-Myth is an amazing book. I highly recommend people to read. And then also there's a book called, the 16-word sales letter. 16-word sales letter is an amazing copywriting book where it talks about the different levels of sophistication. It talks about copywriting, because if your messaging is really powerful, then you can have really good marketing on Facebook by your emails. So 16-word sales letter, read that book, read the E-Myth, and then the Quran. They would be my top 3 books, I'd say.
Amazing. Okay, wonderful. Tell me something, I wanted to ask you, you know, one of the big things that I've found, because I've coached a lot of entrepreneurs, is sometimes they find it difficult to have that level of accountability, to have someone pushing them and to have someone like really making sure that they do their stuff. So as the person who's the leader of Entrepreneur Muslim and as the person who's the head of it, how do you kind of get yourself out? Because obviously we're human beings. We have ups and downs, smiles and frowns. Like, how do you get to the point when maybe you're not fully like motivated? Maybe you had some sales and so things are looking good and you're relaxed. How do you get yourself out of that and really motivated and focused again?
It all comes down to the vision. The vision is to create pioneers across every halal industry. And it's about thinking about a 10-year vision. Where do you want to get Entrepreneurial Muslim to? We want to have hundreds of people, you know, part of Entrepreneurial Muslim, a huge team, alhamdulillah. And it all comes down to the culture. We have such an electrifying, legacy-focused, Jannah-driven culture in our team. Say one person is demotivated, the team is there to keep you back on track. And the growth that each person has is amazing. So the team around you is really important to keep you motivated. But the vision is really important. If you don't have a vision for your business or your life, create a vision to keep you motivated so you can achieve Jannah al-Firdaus, so you can leave a legacy behind. And your mission is really important as well. So your vision, your mission and your culture, that's what keeps me motivated if I'm feeling down or, you know, if I'm having a bad week. So I think that's really important.
Okay, great. So one of the last questions I wanted to ask you, kind of linked to that whole vision thing, is that obviously we're kind of, we're like towards the end of December now. We've got a new year coming. How do you kind of plan your year? Like what are you going to do to plan 2020?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down this week, each month. So I'm going to open up a calendar and I'm going to break down what each day, each week and each month looks like. A rough overview of what I'm going to do in this month, what sort of targets we're going to achieve this week and this month. I'm going to be a lot more productive because before, I'll be honest, I didn't do that. I was kind of like going with the flow kind of thing. But I realized that, you know, 2020 is coming. You know, I'm 31 years old now, mashallah. So I have to plan things more effectively. So what I'm going to do this week is I'm going to plan 2020 where each day I'm going to be like this, each week this, each month I want to achieve these targets, these results. In this month, I want to bring this person on board. We want to focus on doing this and this, doing events, releasing this sort of training, some more structured approach. And I think that's going to be more effective. And there's also some training called the 90-day year by, I think, called Todd Herman. I highly recommend you check out his training. 3 months, how can you be really productive and achieve, you know, a year's worth of work in just 3 months? And if you have that mindset, then you can take more action and have greater level of accountability as well, inshallah.
Fantastic. Okay, amazing. And so, Akib, one of the last questions I want to ask you is, obviously, you're someone who went through coaching with me and stuff, right? Just tell us a little bit about, like, why is it beneficial for someone to have a coach and go through coaching like we did?
I think your coaching was unique because I'm quite stubborn. Like, I don't like to be coached by others because I feel like, you know, I can do it myself. But with your coaching, you really empowered me. You understood my needs. You valued me. And you gave me a personal approach. And I really believe your coaching transformed my life and my business because it gives you that accountability. It gives you advice from someone with more experience and someone who's very forward thinking. So I really believe that, you know, your coaching is amazing and I highly recommend it. That people contact you to get more coaching, inshallah. I really believe that the Ummah needs your coaching, bro. And I wish that there are more people out there like you who have that mindset. And I remember you came to my event in August 2019 and your presentation was amazing, mashallah. Your delivery was really professional, as well as your content was very, you know, bite-sized chunks. And I believe the Ummah needs to hear that. You know, there's not people out there like you. If you can clone yourself, I think that'd be a good start, inshallah.
Yeah, I really appreciate your kind words and the feedback. But what I really want to know is that when we started working together, you were still at a good level, right? So you could have been that kind of guy that said, well, I'm at this level. Who is this guy? Why do I need to do it? Why did you actually choose to go for coaching? And at what level should someone stop taking coaching, you know?
I think coaching is constant. You look at Usain Bolt, you look at Michael Jordan. No matter how great you get, there's always a next level. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had Angel Jibreel, and he was the best of mankind. Islam encourages, you know, mentorship. So I was at a good level, but I wanted to get to that next stage where public speaking was an issue for me. You know, I was going on TV like the next day, and I was like, oh my God, Muhammad, what do I do? What do I say? So no matter where you are as a leader, you're always going to have weaknesses and you're going to have strengths. What you did, mashallah, you helped me improve on my strengths and grow my weaknesses as well. So I think coaching, you can do at any level, no matter how good you are. Even if you're at an advanced stage, you can always get coaching, because when you get to a certain level, it's about that extra 1%, which adds to your bottom line, which can make a big difference. For example, when you're racing in a 100-meter race, it's that point split second. That's the difference between a gold medal and a bronze medal. So I believe coaching is really important, man, no matter whether you're a newbie or if you're at an advanced stage, where you can constantly get to that next stage with that top 1% can make a big difference.
Fantastic. Amazing. Okay. So, Akib, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here today. I know we always have fun when we talk and stuff. Just before we kind of finish, where can people find out more about you? Is there anything else you want to say before we close? And just Jazakallah Khair, really.
Yeah, I just want to say Jazakallah Khair and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your work. I love what you're doing at Muslim CEOs. I think your vision's amazing. I actually saw your training a few days ago about creating Muslim pioneers. And I saw myself in there and I was like, fantastic. And it really resonated with me because our vision is the same, to create pioneers. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And people can find me, you know, on Facebook, Akib Ahmed, or Entrepreneurial Muslim. And I just want to say, be legacy focused, be Jannah driven. And if I could give one piece of advice, and this is the only piece of advice I give, and you never hear from me again, this is the most powerful piece of advice that really changed my life. And if I could give this one piece of gem that will inshallah impact you, Muhammad, and people listening, and this is really profound, so listen very carefully, and that if you only take this one piece of advice from me from this interview and forget everything else, this will be sufficient, inshallah. And this advice is, you know, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last third of the night. Cry to Allah and make dua that you can leave a legacy behind, that Allah forgives your sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you Jannatul Firdaus. Because when you make dua in the last third of the night, you can see transformation, inshallah. That's my piece of advice.
Amazing. Jazakallah khair, bro. That's wonderful, wonderful advice. I really, really appreciate your time. It's been great having you here as always. I know everyone watching would have really loved the episode. It's been one of our best so far, mashallah. And you played your part in them becoming better leaders and better CEOs as well. So Jazakallah khair once again. Brothers and sisters, this is the Muslim CEO Show. I hope you enjoyed the show. There's so much that we talked about. I think you should rewind it and go over it again, because Akib speaks very, very fast, but there was a lot of great content that he kind of talked about in there. So remember to subscribe if you haven't already done so. Also go check out the free training at muslimceo.com. Jazakallah khair once again, Akib. Inshallah, we'll speak soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.